Well, another week in lockdown, but a very warm welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study. We can't be together, but we can together meet around his word, and we can together seek his face. I'm going to begin by reading, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at the things we've been reading together. So if you have a Bible, you might like to come with me to Acts chapter 9, and I shall read from verse 36 to the end of the chapter. So Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been able to read your word. We thank you that here we have the very words of life. And that, although we're in our different homes, that we can together sit around your word. We pray that, Lord, you would meet with us, that you'd open the eyes of our understanding, that, Lord, there might be a warmth and a light and a wonder as we come to your word, that supremely the Spirit himself, Jesus other self, might come and open our understanding to these things for our good, but most especially for your glory in the church, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's this reading: Dorcas is restored to life. Now, the event is sandwiched between the conversion of Paul and Peter preaching to the household of Cornelius and the first Gentile converts. So we could have looked at Paul that day on the Damascus Road when he saw the radiance of the splendor of the glory of God in the face of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the writer of so much of the New Testament. And if we looked at Paul, what stories we could tell of missionary adventures, beatings, shipwrecks, standing before kings and emperors. And we could have looked at Peter. Peter, Jesus' right-hand man, a first rank amongst the apostles, the leader of the church, the man who has the keys to the kingdom and opens the door to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and the Samaritans, Acts chapter 8, and here in chapter 10 to the Gentiles. And again, what stories we could tell. Preaching to thousands, daring escapes, extraordinary healings, shattering judgments. Peter and Paul, Paul and Peter. Now, in the forest are many sorts of animals. And there are big animals like bears and lions. But most forest dwellers are small and shy and quiet, and they live in holes and burrows and under the shade of the trees. And they pose no threat. So here we have Tabitha, Dorcas. The name means gazelle, graceful, beautiful, gentle, kind. She's not a Peter or a Paul. She's not a bear or a lion, but a gazelle. One who in the great stories of the church could be easily overlooked were it not for this extraordinary event of her being restored to life. And it's a word from God to all the small, shy, unseen forest dwellers. A word from God to the ordinary believers, the unsung heroes and heroines who are the beating heart of the churches. So to Dorcas, what do we know? What do we learn? Well, verse 36, we're told there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. So the first thing we're told is that she's a disciple. She's a lover and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a Buddhist and a Christian, they were good friends. They were walking together along the beach. They were having a conversation. And the Buddhist asked the Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? I wonder what you would say. What would be your answer to that question? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, this is the answer the Christian gave. He said, it means I've lost control of my life to Jesus. And that's Dorcas. She's lost control of her life to Jesus. It's a life that belongs to him. It's a life that is lived for him. It is therefore a life that is full, we're told, of good works. Maybe you see someone loaded with shopping. And as they come towards you and they're carrying their shopping, all you can see is the shopping. And maybe just peeping over the top is their head. You might even say to them, you have your hands full. Well, that was Dorcas. Her hands were full of good works. As you looked at her, what did you see? You saw those wonderful works, those good works abounding from her life. And we're told acts of charity. So she helped those who couldn't return the favour. And we're told very explicitly who they are in verse 40. They are the widows. So what did she do for the widows? Well, verse 39, she made them tunics and other garments. Tunics, the sort of clothes that would be worn next to the skin. The sort of clothes that keep you warm. Sort of clothes that are practical, useful, of daily benefit. So what happens to Dorcas? Well, we read verse 37. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. The upper room where Dorcas' body lies. And as the door swings open, and as Peter steps into the room, he finds himself surrounded by these weeping widows. And the sight is deeply moving, isn't it? All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Dorcas, greatly loved. And you get the sense, don't you, these widows, they've lost their friend, they've lost their champion, and perhaps we could say this, they've also lost their mother. Because Dorcas mothered them. They would be widows. They would be, on the whole, elderly ladies. There was no safety net to catch them. They were supported. They were believers. They would have been supported by the church. And Dorcas mothered them. Paul, when he writes to the Thessalonians, he says this. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, he's talking of his conduct amongst the Thessalonians while he was with them. He says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And that word there, taking care, which Paul uses, it literally means keeping warm. Well, Dorcas kept these women warm, quite literally. She made them tunics and other garments, but also she kept them warm metaphorically. She cherished them. She mothered them. From those deep wells of love that were in her, she was kind and gentle and caring and someone who was self-forgetting, always busying her mind, busying her hands with their needs. That circle of widows that greets Peter is really a family circle, isn't it? It's a circle of friendship. It's a circle of love. The Lord himself has bound them all together. It's deeply moving. But I think we're also allowed a smile. Here comes Peter. And we know from the gospel accounts, he was a great bear of a man. Here he is, this great bear of a man, surrounded by these widows. And maybe as they're all holding up the garments and they're all walking towards him, you can see Peter being backed into a corner. Well, verse 40, Peter put them all outside. And there are echoes here, aren't there? The healing of Jairus' daughter. Verse 40, Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter's a gentleman, he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's lovely. Here's Dorcas. And she's been restored. Restored to the circle of love. Restored to life. Restored to life by the power of Jesus. This is Jesus doing, but it's been done through his apostle. Here is one of the signs of the apostles. But here's another sort of sign. It's a sign to generations of believers to come. It's a sign to the church family at Amiens Park Chapel that the Lord has his eyes on the smaller animals in the forest. His eyes are upon the ordinary believers, those who are the beating heart of the churches. They don't preach to thousands. They don't go on great missionary journeys. They don't have great stories to tell. They simply get on with serving the Lord with what they have. Serving the Lord where he has put them. Using their modest gifts, the gifts that he's given to them. I mean, Dorcas, what are her gifts? It's sewing, isn't it? And stitching. And taking the opportunities to do good as God places those opportunities before them. Helping those who can't help in return. Believers who are warm-hearted, kind, caring, self-forgetting. Disciples, lovers of Jesus. There's a sign here to all the unsung, unnoticed heroes in the church and heroines. But those who are seen and loved by the Lord. So God raises Dorcas from the dead, as if to say, I see, I know, she's too important to be taken now, so I'm returning her to you. These are just the people that I use to build my church. And I take their little stories, the ups and the downs, the joys and the sorrows, and I take their little stories and I use them to write my big story. They play their unique and special part in the coming of my kingdom and in the glory of the King. Verse 42, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So let's tie all this up. Brothers and sisters, God uses ordinary believers. Ordinary believers with ordinary gifts. And he puts in their path good works. And people who are in need, people who won't be able to return the favour. And he says, do it for me. And if they have a servant heart, what great things the Lord does. Great things. Some of it will be seen. Much more is unseen. But it's seen by him. And blessed by him. And such believers are the beating heart of the church. So brother, sister, are you ordinary? Are your gifts and opportunities very modest? And perhaps the more so during lockdown. But can you send a text? Or write a card? Or make a cake or make a something? Or if you're good at sewing or stitching? Or pick up the phone? Or pray? Is there something you can do where you can take the initiative? Some small act of kindness. And who knows, that small act of kindness may grow. So that your love and the warmth of your love touch a wider and wider circle. Dorcas must have started somewhere. There was the first act of kindness. There was the first good work. Circles, straight lines. House party many years ago, we had a tug of war. And each team, you know, it was a rope and there were two teams. Each team had strong men. And it was probably of note too that each team had some strong women as well. But also on the teams, there were children. There were a few weaklings. And there were some who were quite aged, if I can put it like that. But the more there were pulling in the same direction, the more successful the team was. So think of it. A church that's full of small acts of kindness and love. It's surprising just how powerful that is. That if on the team there are, yes, there might be bears, there might be lions, but also there might be mice and rabbits. But if we all pull together, all pull in the same direction, we might be surprised as to how much is done, how much good is done for the glory of God. Christian friend, maybe you've looked at yourself and said, well, there's not much I can do. I'm just ordinary. My gifts are ordinary. My opportunities are ordinary. What can I do? Well, maybe it's time to put yourself on the altar again. To lose control of your life to Jesus and say, here am I, everything on the altar. Do with me whatever you will. Here am I. And maybe it's time to refocus. You know, we've been in lockdown, time to think. The patterns of our lives have been disrupted. The habits of our lives have changed. Maybe it's time just to refocus on the part that you can play in the family of the church. Maybe it's time to pray, Lord, here am I. Use me. Lord, here am I. What can I do? The Lord fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe all you have is 5 little loaves and 2 fishes, and you're thinking, well, what's that amongst so many? But give it to him and see what he does with it. You might find it multiplies in your hands. The Lord healed a blind man with spit and mud. And maybe all you have is spit and mud. Well, give yourself to the Lord, and you might be surprised by what the Lord might do with spit and mud for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this account of Dorcas. We think, Lord, how it's been sandwiched between the conversion of the great apostle Paul and between the conversion of this Gentile household through the great apostle Peter. And Lord, we might make the mistake of reading the history of the church and the important events in the church merely in terms of the great men and women and the great leaders. And then we thank you, Father, right in the middle you've placed Dorcas to remind us that, Lord, that you are as much at work in the ordinary and in the everyday and with the modest and those, Lord, whose gifts won't take them very far in a natural way, and yet, Lord, wonderfully used by you to build your church and extend your kingdom. We pray, Father God, that you would encourage us and lift our eyes to see you. And that, Lord, if we need to put ourselves again upon the altar, and if we need again to refocus our minds to the life of the church, oh, then, Lord, you'd hear our prayer and you'd abundantly bless. And you take our 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you take our spit and our mud, and use them for the glory of your great and wonderful name. Continue with us, Lord, now in the remainder of our time, as we seek your face in prayer and as we share time together, because these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.